Welcome back to part two of We Love Movies. Still to come on the show, we'll be hearing from Hugh Jackman about returning as Wolverine for one last time in Logan. But first, we're going to take a look at some of this weekend's brand new cinema releases, first of which is Patriots Day, directed by Peter Berg, the man behind Deepwater Horizon and Lone Survivor. The film stars Mark Wahlberg and is an account of the events surrounding the Boston Marathon bombings. The thriller chronicles in detail one of the most sophisticated and well-coordinated manhunts in law enforcement history. Before we talk to our film reviewer, Rory Cashin, here is a clip from the film.
Those are not our guys. Meanwhile, you guys aren't any closer to identifying the two we're really looking for. We need to release those pictures.
If we release the photos now, we have zero control.
If we overplay our hand, we may force these guys to react.
Gentlemen, if I may, right now, Boston's working against us. Yeah, that's normal. You got to murder, no one rats. We don't got that problem. Because in this city, when it comes to terrorism, everybody wants to talk. Look, you got a lot of people talking, but they're talking about the wrong people. You release the photos of our guys, sit back and listen, trust me. You gotta start letting Boston work for us, I'm telling you.
I understand Boston, but I can't just snap my fingers. This decision goes all the way up to the Attorney General.
Then give me his number. I'll call him right now. This is my city, Rick. Release the goddamn pictures.
That's a clip there from Patriots Day starring Mark Wahlberg. Rory Cashin joins me once again on the show. He's gonna review the film for us. Roy, when I first heard they were making a movie about the Boston bombings, I thought, oh, God, it's a bit crass, really, isn't it? You know, it's only been the best part of, you know, just over 3 years. It's a bit much. But how does Peter Berg, the director, handle the subject matter?
He handles it surprisingly well. Like, he uses some real-life footage, which initially I thought might be a bit garish, maybe a bit tasteless, but he uses it quite well. And he doesn't try to make it too much of a, like a kind of jumped up political, you know, movie where like it's all about the terrorist aspirations or whatever. Like he more or less turns it into a proper manhunt thriller. Like he makes it a very entertaining film, which I don't know how well that will sit with everyone, as you said, because it's been so recent and should we be entertained by something this recent and like obviously this tragic because people did actually die. It's that whole, I'm enjoying this, but my brain is telling me I probably shouldn't be. And there's going to be a lot of, it's going to spur on a lot of conversations afterwards, I'd say.
Okay. In terms of the performance, Rory, Mark Wahlberg, he can be a little bit hit and miss, but he does have a great supporting cast around him, the likes of John Goodman. You've got Kevin Bacon in there, J.K. Simmons. So in terms of the whole ensemble, how do they all work alongside Wahlberg?
Well, Berg worked with Wahlberg just recently in Deepwater Horizon and got quite a good performance of him, and again that was a recent kind of tragedy thing that was based on real life, and I think this is the kind of wheelhouse that Wahlberg does quite well when he's not playing science teachers like in The Happening, or he's not playing, you know, something that's kind of outside of his comfort zone. Like in this, he's playing a police officer who's just there to help the people on the day of the marathon, and when he's playing that more kind of a blue collar role, like he's far more acceptable levels of believability. Like no one's trying to push him too far in terms of acting. That's perfectly fine. Like it's Mark Wahlberg. He's never, ever, 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 ever going to win an Oscar for best acting. Mm-hmm. So this is the best we can get from him. And it's good that he is surrounded by such a stellar supporting cast because everyone in this around him brings their A game.
So Rory, earlier on you were saying you were quite conflicted watching the film, bearing in mind that it has been only a few years since the Boston bombings. As the end credits rolled, how did you assess what you just watched? Did you think the film was warranted?
There's points in this film where this stuff happened and I was like, oh, I had no idea any of this happened. And he gets it across in a very kind of, again, kind of straightforward, no-nonsense way. And in the middle of that as well, there's like massive action sequences, which apparently did really happen. So he handled that all really, really well. While at the same time, you know, he's very aware of the subject matter and it does give a proper kind of emotional connection to the people who were actually affected by it.
Okay.
But should he have waited even another 2 or 3 years just to give the people some breathing space? Like, did we need to see this soon? That's something that, like, you know, everyone's going to have a different answer to.
Okay, Rory, for you, though, out of 10?
I'd give it 7.5.
Okay, nice one, Rory. 7.5 out of 10 for Patriots Day.
We love movies with Gordon Hayden.
Next up is A Cure for Wellness. This is from Gore Verbinski, who made the first three Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and he won an Oscar for the animated flick Rango. Dane DeHaan, he plays a Wall Street stockbroker who travels to a remote location in the Swiss Alps in order to retrieve his company's CEO from an idyllic but mysterious wellness centre. He soon suspects that the miraculous treatments are not what they seem, and his sanity is tested when he unravels the spa's terrifying secrets. Here is a clip from A Cure for Wellness. Here's a little section from the trailer to A Cure for Wellness.
You a patient here? She's just so much younger than everyone else.
Director Volmer says I'm a special case. What about you? Are you here for the cure?
No. Actually, I was just leaving.
No one ever leaves.
Rory, Gore Verbinski, again, like, you know, he'll always be saddled with those Pirates movies and then the Lone Ranger. So I don't know if he decided right off the back of some of those big budget movies that didn't go according to plan. I'm going to return more to sort of horror type territory, which, of course, he did so well with The Ring. Again, but this one seems like such an oddball type of flick. Is there an audience for it? Do people really want this type of movie? Bearing in mind we've had Ex Machina, which seemed to be something a little bit similar, a bit of a chamber piece. So what did you make of this Odyssey?
Well, he talked about it saying that he wanted to do what Jaws did to sharks. This is what he wanted to do to spas. Like where you go and sit in jacuzzis and stuff.
Wow.
And, you know, sharks are kind of already, they've already got a bit of a fear factor to them. I don't think there's anyone out there developing some kind of phobia of a jacuzzi or like a rub down, but he's determined to cross the 2.5 hour runtime of this film.
You are joking.
To get across that maybe spas and spa days are scary and maybe you shouldn't go on them. And Gore, I appreciate that you tried to go somewhere different with your horror movie, but this is it's too much.
Two and a half hours. Oh my God. And Dane DeHaan, he's one of these actors that is great, I think, at playing the sort of the oddball type of character, but very much a supporting character. But it just seems of late there are forces at work in Hollywood that are desperately trying to push him into leading man type of territory. He's got the, Valerians or something like that, which is coming out later this year. And it looks like it's going to be horrendous, that big French action blockbuster. And I don't know if I can take him as a leading man. I think he's fine as a third or fourth banana, but I just can't see him as the leading man. How did he work for you in this?
I feel like Hollywood are trying to slot him into the vacancy left behind by Anton Yelchin. You know, just left of field looking kind of, there's something charming, but there's also something kind of vaguely just a little bit off about it. And like, he does that really well. And he does decent work in this. Oops, sorry, I'll do that again. And he does decent work in this. And it's just that the film he's saddled with, like, it is essentially trying to be Shutter Island, but set in the modern day and in the Swiss Alps. So it's beautiful to look at. It's got Jason Isaacs as the is he evil or isn't he evil doctor who's overlooking the whole sanitarium place. Mm. And the whole time, like, the plot is plodding along. You're like, okay, come on, Dan. Come on, I figured out the ending already. Why is it taking you so long to get there? And then it takes the film so long to get there that by the time, like, the big kind of finale comes around, like, the audience is already, like, a little bit bored because we figured out halfway through the film what was going on.
Right.
And it's just, you're just sitting there waiting for his character to just light bulb. You're like, there you go. You did it. You figured it out.
Oh, no. Oh, 2.5 hours. Rory, out of 10.
Tough, like it is genuinely, genuinely beautiful to look at. But so are most laptop screensavers, and you don't sit down and watch them for 2.5 hours. So I'd say 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10 for A Cure for Wellness. Poor Elf Gore Verbinski. It's just not happening for him at the moment, really, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's just weird. You get me trying to make a horror movie about bad days.
Rory Cashin, we'll chat to you next week. Thanks a million.
Thank you. We love movies with Gordon Hayden.
We got ourselves an X-Men fan. Maybe a quarter of it happened. And not like this.
Now, out in cinemas next weekend is Logan. I've already seen the film, and my God, are you in for a treat. Very shortly, Andy McCarroll, he'll be joining me to go through the previous Wolverine films, a little bit of trivia surrounding the casting of Hugh Jackman in the X-Men series. But first, here is Hugh Jackman talking about saying goodbye to his most signature role.
In general, not great at goodbyes. I like them to be quick. I sometimes will actually just avoid them. I'm the guy at the party who just walks out rather than say goodbye to everybody. And in this case, it took me 17 years to say goodbye, so I was ready for it, and I'm okay. But it was emotional last night watching the movie. I was sitting next to Patrick Stewart, James Mangold, the writer-director, both of whom I've worked with 16, 17 years. So it was a lot to take in.
Well, joining me now to take a look back at the Wolverine movies and how Hugh Jackman got cast as Wolverine is Andy McCarroll. Andy, very welcome back to We Love Movies. We should start by saying that Hugh Jackman initially wasn't the actor that Fox had in mind to play the role. They had someone else entirely.
No, Dougherty Scott had actually been cast initially, and he was just finishing up shooting Mission Impossible 2 with Tom Cruise. And they were getting ready to shoot the first X-Men movie. And what happened was the director of Mission Impossible 2, John Woo, wanted to do reshoots on the kind of the climactic action scene. He wasn't happy with how it played out. Because he had to be called back and he was contractually obligated to do the reshoots, he had to drop out of X-Men then. And Fox and Bryan Singer were kind of left scurrying for who they could pick up on short notice. A lot of their first choices had already taken roles in the meantime. The only one that hadn't was Hugh Jackman, and he sort of won the role by default. Then it's actually worked out perfectly well. And if you look at like the contrast between where Dougherty Scott is now and where Hugh Jackman is in his career, I'm sure he wakes up most mornings cursing John Woo and Mission Impossible 2.
Very true. And what a successful run Hugh Jackman, of course, has had. Now let's move on, Andy, just outside of the X-Men films to when Hugh Jackman went it alone and we get to the spin-off movies. So we have X-Men Origins Wolverine, a film that, let's be honest with you, was plagued with production problems.
It was, and that was a lot of that was due to the fact that the spin-off film that was supposed to come out of X-Men was the Magneto film. And this was going to be based around the concentration camps and Magneto's early years. A lot of this kind of made the basis of the X-Men First Class script. So they were kind of rushed into production 6 months before they were expecting to. They had a director in Gavin Hood who'd only made one low-budget Australian film that Hugh Jackman was a fan of, and that's how he ended up getting the role, or sorry, getting the director seat. He wasn't used to kind of big-budget production. He was very much like, I've got my vision, I've my script, this is what we're doing. And then having to deal with executives, like the one famous story is they weren't happy with the dark tone of the film. Mm-hmm. And he left for a break at the weekend, came back, and the producers had actually redesigned all the sets to help make them kind of look lighter and, you know, give the film more of a PG-13 rating. He would initially thought he was making an 18s rated film. So halfway through a film, having to change the kind of tone. I know a lot of the problems of that film were dumped at his door, but if you have somebody repainting your sets and you have somebody kind of changing the tone of your film as you go, it's not a lot you can do about it.
There's a lot of rumours as well about Deadpool making a cameo in Logan. And of course, if we rewind the clock to the X-Men Origins, Ryan Reynolds, that was his first outing as Deadpool. But even at that, it wasn't exactly how the character should have been played.
No, and that's just one of the most inexplicable changes to a character. Like, he's known as the Merc with the mouth, and then stitching it up, taking away the iconic costume. Like, you really could have put anyone in there. Like, for the role that was made, he was just kind of an amalgamation of all the characters in that didn't need to be Deadpool, and you just alienated quite a large fan base of that. When people who are fans of the comics, and these are kind of your base who you want people to, you know, get the film out there and talk about it, if you're changing a much beloved character like that and taking away his most defining characteristic, you're going to piss a lot of people off. And that's kind of translated into the box office as well. Like, it was a mess of a film to begin with, but to do something like that, it's, you know, it's like taking Batman and having him, you know, fight crime on a beach during the day.
And also, there's more problems outside of just what happened on the production side of things with X-Men Origins Wolverine. But then the film got leaked. Well, it was a work print of the film.
It was, and that kind of made the film look, you know, even more ridiculous when there was then there was a lot of special effects shots that weren't finished in the leaked draft. And even before then, like it leaked online, I think it was 2 months before the film was released. Usually in cases like this with film leaks online, it's maybe, you know, a week or two before release. And a lot of people, especially in a big budget superhero film, you're inclined to go, I'll wait till it's in the cinema, I'll see the finish. But if you've got 2 months beforehand, a lot of people downloaded it, and it's, you know, it said that it harmed the box office, but really when you look at the numbers and then compare it to the rest of the X-Men film, it really didn't have that much of a negative effect. I think the negative effect was more surrounding, like you said, Deadpool and, you know, kind of going away from Wolverine as this kind of, you know, loner character, and then putting them back into a separate group from the X-Men that, you know, people like Will.i.am and things like that. It just didn't really translate the way it did with you know, the X-Men films, which are very, you know, a tight-knit group full of A-list actors.
Isn't it, when you, now that Logan is fast approaching cinemas, Andy, you've had a chance to see the film as well. When you look at that in comparison to the Wolverine and X-Men Origins Wolverine, it's like chalk and cheese.
It's, like, my review is up on the site now. I absolutely love the film. I had no interest going into this. I'd been burned so badly by X-Men Origins and Wolverine, which I thought was actually a worse film than Origins. I thought that just looked like it was written by women on a hen night. It was just him crying, him shirtless, him crying in the rain, him thinking about his ex. There was nothing really from the comic that made that great. But this film is completely different. And I would, anyone who kind of is apprehensive based on the first two films, absolutely take that out of your head. Even the trailer, I wasn't kind of mad on the trailer. I know I had that fantastic the Johnny Cash song, Hurt. But you could put that over, you know, Keep Up with the Kardashians, and it'd make me want to see it. But this just completely changes the tone. I think it's going to change superhero films in general, much the same way after Chris Nolan's Batman. Every, you know, superhero film had to be dark, gritty, and realistic. I think this is going to open up a kind of a mid-budget superhero film. It's not really the, you see the kind of the end of the line. It's not all about, you know, a third act with helicarriers crashing in and cities being destroyed and CGI. Like, this film, even though it's like kind of small and spectacle, it still feels like a big, proper Wolverine film. And I'm just disappointed that it's the last film that Hugh Jackman gets to do. At least he finally got to do one right before he bowed out.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, and you know, and that's the frustrating part. You think, oh, if they could have only made the other ones like Logan. That's the thing. It's such a good film. But we'll review it in more detail on next week's programme. Andy McCarroll, thank you so much for your time.
Cheers. Thanks, Gordon.
We Love Movies with Gordon Hayden.
And that's it for this week's We Love Movies. On next week's show, we'll be taking a look at Logan, starring Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart. This is an X-Men movie which is very different from the other films. I can't wait to talk to you about it next week. We'll also be reviewing the comedy Fist Fight starring Ice Cube and Charlie Day. And we'll be taking a look at the revenge thriller L, directed by Paul Verhoeven, a man best known for making such films as Basic Instinct, RoboCop and Total Recall. Isabelle Huppert stars in the film. She's been Oscar nominated for it. It's beginning lots of acclaim, this movie. And we'll be reviewing that as well on next week's We Love Movies. From me, Gordon Hayden, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll chat to you on next Sunday's We Love Movies.